friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, hey, everybody.
Hi.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
That's right.
Like, the holidays.
Hey. Oh, tis the holiday season.
What? Okay, so
sweater we chose. Oh, I definitely am sweating in my sweaters. Yeah, so we chose this movie, Love Actually, because it is solely based around Christmas. Everything kind of comes together.
This Christmas season
was
a chaotic melody.
Yeah, and normally, like, we've been wanting to do a What Would You Do to give you a preview, but with this particular movie, there were 9 different scenarios, really.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they kind of are happening at the same time. Somewhat disjointed.
Yeah, the movie is Love Actually.
Love Actually.
From 2003.
Yes.
So the director is Richard Curtis, and he also wrote it.
Yeah. Okay. And there's one. It's an all-star cast.
Yes.
And
so many.
Choices. So many people.
I have to laugh. I did not realize that Alan Rickman, who I kind of was first introduced to as Severus Snape.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is in many roles.
I know, and we love him.
He's
we
a phenomenal love him.
Well, he was in that. What's that one that we absolutely adore?
Oh my gosh,
we were all falling madly deeply, where we were all sobbing.
He was so amazing.
Yeah, Emma Thompson in this was just incredible.
I know, like, don't love her.
I love
like,
her.
I want her as a mother. I mean, no, I love my mother.
I love your mother.
She's phenomenal actress.
I mean, I want to say this is one of Keira Knightley's. I don't know if I'm saying
that
right.
She was cute.
It was one of her
too.
First movies. She was actually 18 years old.
Are you serious? This movie, she was 18? She seemed like she came across like as like a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But she had that fun, you know,
it's like
energy.
Cute little
So,
vibe.
Yes, for sure. The characters in this movie, the actors and actresses.
Are great.
There's so many others there that we didn't name.
Yeah. I mean, so we love the characters. We love the actors. The movie itself is a little dysfunctional.
It's disjointed. So when it says Love Actually is dysfunctional is how I would finish that sentence.
Love Actually is dysfunctional in this movie.
So I kind of wanted to go through like
it's
each
cute,
of the 9
energy,
scenarios.
But, yeah.
With each of the 2 couples.
I love that because I don't know that there's actually a healthy love story actually in most of these relationships.
I don't know. Yeah, they're
Let's
all
Let's try to figure that out.
Is this love actually or is this dysfunction actually? I mean, it's a cute, lighthearted, amazing actors. I'm kind of 2 of my favorite styles of movies are, I love the Groundhog's Day, you know, the same day lived over and over again type movies because I love the predictability of that. Like, and that goes from, I don't care if it's Groundhog's Day or if it's Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat action movie with the same thing where you live the day over and over again, or, you know, 12 Dates of Christmas. I don't care. I love those types of movies, but this is the other kind of movie that I also really like too, the Valentine's Day type ones where you have a whole bunch of chaos happening where you find out that this relationship is sort of mildly related to that relationship, is sort of mildly related to that relationship.
Yeah, how we're all interconnected.
Yes, and I love those types of movies too.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love this concept that we truly are all connected.
Yes.
Well, we are. I mean, we are. You just think, what is it, like 5... What is the Kevin?
Oh,
six degrees of
separation
Kevin
from
Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Just like
is
his wife.
Is it 6 or 3?
You do.
Kira
yes,
Sedgwick.
Yeah, that's
I'm
freaky.
I'm a Kira Sedgwick clone. Oh, yeah, so 6 degrees of
is
separation.
Is it 6 or 3?
It was 6.
Six degrees.
So I'm like, you know, well, I look like his wife.
I know. We should play wife swapping.
Okay, look, you both are connected. I am connected, or I have I don't know. 1, 2. So
how are you connected to Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick?
Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Our family friends who I lived with in New York, their son went to school with their son.
Oh,
and so they knew him. I mean, not like know him, mm-hmm. but just in the context of that, okay. they went, their kids went to school together. So
I have a connection.
Now you both have a connection to
I've
me.
I've got my connection.
There you go.
You ready for my connection?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're, yeah.
So when
a different one.
Corbin was a child
okay.
and people would ask him his name, he really had a hard time getting the consonants and vowels in the right order. Mm-hmm. So he'd say, I'm Bacon.
Oh, that's so cute.
He would introduce himself as Bacon. There you have it, Kevin Bacon. You're my son.
Dun, dun, dun.
And there we go. We're all
which
connected.
Is so crazy because I do think he might be a little bit older than you.
Yes. Well, logistically.
You know, you're from Utah. Crazy things happen in Utah.
Right? There are uncle grandpas.
Love Actually.
Well, actually. Back to that. These characters are all connected. Kind of through friendship, mutual friendship.
Yes.
And this takes place in England. Mm-hmm. So
I just love England.
I know. Those English films, some of them are slow burns.
And, yes.
And you build that character development. This one, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
And I love this overall just because I love that you guys kind of called me out on the fact that I was blind. I didn't pay close enough attention to the fact that, well, this is really a dysfunctional show. Until we started like a little preview conversation about it. And I was like, because I was blinded with science. I mean, blinded by like, oh, I love all these actors. And oh, I love this type of film. And oh, I love London. And then I'm like, oh my God, you guys are right. This is dysfunctional.
So let's get into it. So what would you do if you were a staff member and the president?
Or prime minister, yeah.
Prime minister, because it's in England. You know, he's hitting on you. There's this mutual attraction. And then becomes jealous because the interaction with the American president, he misconstrues for, you know, sexual tension. And then you get demoted.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, there's this chemistry going on. Like, what would you do?
Which is crazy because like I've watched the show a ton of times. It's like my background music show, one of the things. And then I was like, holy crap. I did not realize that actually was what was happening. I'm like, I forgot that she got demoted. And I'm like, that is so messed up.
Yeah. So then like, what would you do? Like, would you try to rekindle that relationship? Would you feel a little bit
pissed?
Yeah. I feel like yes. And it's such a strange power dynamic when you've got your clearly your boss.
Yeah.
And he's very powerful.
Yeah.
And what he says goes. And then he treats you like you are dispensable, whatever.
Yeah. He doesn't even say anything to her about it. He just tells his other employee to like move her somewhere else.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even talk to her.
And then also, like, could you imagine being this girl and then having your Bill Clinton, I mean, you know, the president.
Right. Well, this was 2003, not so long after. So
yeah, and then having, you know, like, you just got brought on to this team, you just got promoted and this thing, you know, so you're progressing your career correctly, being part of the staff of the house.
Right.
And then you just had this terrible thing happen to you where you just got manhandled by a powerful man against your...
And
wishes.
Not only that, the fellow
and then you were
staff
punished.
Member that was like carrying out, you know, the prime minister's, you know, directives.
Yeah.
Is nonstop fat shaming you.
Absolutely.
He doesn't say anything.
She was not fat at all. What are they talking about?
I know, this is ridiculous. I'm like, she was like, what, a size 10, maybe a size 12? I mean,
maybe,
and she was like,
I think she was normal.
Yeah, she was so normal.
She was healthy.
Yes. She was totally healthy.
That was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
So, but then, I mean, would you try to seek them out and to, you know, rekindle that?
No.
So, because this is a romantic comedy, we know that every single one of these couples are going to end up together.
And have that work, yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
If someone treats you
like shit,
like you are, unimportant, valued,
disposable.
You know, don't seek them out.
Especially at the beginning of a relationship. Like, here's the thing. It's not like, I mean, he ends up going and like showing up at her house and being like, I really care about you. Give me a chance.
But because I'm powerful and popular. Like,
exactly.
I mean, can have whatever.
But
I
you
want.
Know what? No. Nope. If you get red flags at the beginning of a relationship, shut that thing down. I don't care if he is a freaking prime minister.
Nope. And he has an adorable English accent.
And he does.
I know.
And he looks like Hugh Grant. He's exactly like Hugh Grant. He's adorable.
He's got like kind of a funny cute.
Yeah, but if he doesn't value
and
you.
And then he like shows his cute family side, which he doesn't though. Yeah.
Yeah, just, and if he's not willing, and if he's willing, if he jumps to conclusions about something he knows nothing about without communicating to you, like
even if he admits that he did that, like.
And he never does.
Well, he kind of does a little bit. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's like, and I did that, and I'm sorry. He does throw out there, but like, I'm sorry. If you're already happening to apologize to that level early in a relationship.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, not a fan.
Yeah.
So okay. David and Natalie, you should not have kissed at the end.
Yes.
So Harry and Karen, this one is probably the most realistic one.
Yeah, actually. And heartbreaking. Oh, and
yes.
Heartbreaking. So Harry and Karen.
Oh, and this is Severus Snape.
I know.
Severus, yes.
Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson.
Yes, exactly. Love these two actors.
Yeah,
and
we said,
so
like,
beautifully done.
So here's my what would you do?
Okay.
What would you do if you caught your husband buying jewelry and it's around Christmas time? But then he didn't give it to you.
She does a good job.
My gosh.
I mean, she goes through the range of emotions because she's like surprised.
She tries to hide
sad.
That.
Sad. Oh, yeah.
She masks for her kids.
Yeah.
She does that.
She goes in the other room. She like thinks about it, processes it, cries a little bit.
She turns on.
Gets her like little.
Oh, yeah. Love the music.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell?
Joni Mitchell.
Who can make anybody cry. I can't tell you every time I listen to the joke, my eyes are bawling.
Oh, absolutely.
Every
time.
So she's listening to Joni Mitchell, not that song.
Harry is, I don't know, what does he do? What is his job? He's like a head
man.
Of something.
He has a secretary.
Yes. He's got a boss with a new secretary who is sexy.
And
she keeps coming on to him. At first he doesn't get it, and then he starts getting it, and then he starts thinking about it, and maybe he does
and
want
she
to do it.
Drops so many like
so
directives
many.
Like this is
and
what
her body.
She's practically like doing the whole Sharon Stone
yes.
leg open thing like here come hither to
she's
my crotch.
She's positioning herself
yeah.
in sexy ways around him, so he's like
And she's relentless, but that
yes.
does not forgive his behavior.
No,
absolutely not.
I mean, here's the thing is I don't know because Karen, his wife, is the most lovely human.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
The
character development in this movie is amazing. They do a really good job developing every character.
I know it's not just men that do this. Women do this too. Mm-hmm. It's the what grass is greener on the other side. Or you just,
well,
you can't, not even that.
It's just a natural human tendency. Like when someone's attracted to you, then you find them attractive.
Do you want to know the number one thing about how to be likable to other people? Is that if you want to increase how much people like you, the number one thing you can do is like them.
Yeah. I mean,
the number one thing to increase how likable you are is to like other people and to be the first person. If you tell someone else, I like you, then they will automatically up their opinion of you.
Well, that apparently worked for the secretary.
Yes.
Because he, like, how long have they been married? With children.
25 years, really.
Yeah, and I don't think he was thinking, he had no intention of leaving his wife.
No, but he was entertaining the idea of
fucking
another
girl.
Yes.
And I don't know if he did or didn't.
No,
it doesn't go into that.
I don't think he did. I just think he was thinking about it, you know, entertaining the idea.
Absolutely.
And it kind of started sounding good to him because this woman was over the top.
Absolutely.
You know,
she was a whole.
I can't imagine being that person that would keep pushing it with somebody who's obviously
but
married.
that was her ego boost. If I can get this guy who's such a solid guy, who's such a great guy, if I can get him to want me, then that makes me
more valuable
and extra desirable, even though I don't think that she actually wanted a relationship with him.
No.
And
I've worked with somebody like that.
I've worked with people like that too. I've met people
and
like that.
I mean, you knew they were just trying to get whatever they could, and
they wanted attention.
Yep. They wanted validation.
And they didn't know their own value, so they needed to.
Yeah.
And that's the
line.
Easy out for attention. Especially if you look like her and you have that aura.
Yeah.
And that's an easy attention. That's an easy low-hanging fruit grab.
Yeah. It was, that was a bummer.
That was.
So what would you do if you were in that situation?
She put it,
I would have probably done the exact same thing.
Yeah. She handled it
together.
She was wonderful.
Oh my God. I don't know. I hope I could have been that person. I would have done it for my kids.
Oh yeah. I mean,
but I would have been able to pull it together for my kids and done it like that.
Then there would be,
I would have had a huge after
that night. After the kids went to bed, there would have been some serious talks.
I don't think I would have been as graceful as she was.
Because she did hold it in for a while.
I would have done it for the kids, and then I would have what the fucked my husband up 17 times, not as gracefully as she did.
Let him know that she knew in such an amazing way. Mm-hmm. It just hit. Like, I thought it was perfect.
Oh, good. I wish I was that classy.
I know, me too. Yeah. Obviously,
I'm not. You are way.
I am a crazy smashing pumpkin lady. Don't you forget.
Oh my God. You know what? If you're a crazy smashing pumpkin lady, I'm just flat out psycho.
Everyone does handle things differently, yes, for sure. But I think that definitely is something that I wouldn't just sweep under the rug. That needs to be addressed.
She was so classy. That's the lesson there. So if you want to learn how to handle it classy and still address it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, girls.
So the next one I thought was really fascinating between Jamie and Aurelia. Jamie's an author. She is housekeeper. Oh, he's visiting down in...
Jamie's wife just... He that just found out that too. Jamie's wife just left him.
Yeah.
I think it was a
girl... For her affair partner.
Girlfriend. And he, like, leaves to go to the wedding. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't feel really good. I'm not going to go. And he's like, okay, well, I feel so better. And he's so sweet to her.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, I love you. Feel better. And he leaves and he comes back unexpectedly to get something, or it's like in between like the wedding and the ceremony.
And just to check or whatever. On her. Just,
And his brother walks out. So he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? Like, it's not weird. So super weird. He's like,
My brother's at the house.
Yeah, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I just had to check on the water or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's like,
he's like, that's weird. And then he hears from the other room like, hey, baby, are you coming back to bed or something? He's like, oh.
Yeah, you were that was, checking the oil.
Yes. No. What a bummer.
Yeah.
So.
But then this one's a weird relationship.
It's a weird relationship. And then, so he's in his housekeeper.
He escapes.
Yeah, he goes to, and he's an author.
Yeah, so he's writing, typing away, and his housekeeper and him, they just have this, like, spark. But you also have to realize, like, he's also in a world of pain.
Yes.
And so very vulnerable. They don't speak each other's language, but...
They're miscommunicating.
You know, all the time. Which is kind of but their entire relationship is just body language.
Yeah.
And... Which...
Kind of sensual.
It is kind of sensual. And it's funny too because like...
Have you ever had to do that with someone where you didn't speak their language but you needed to
have
like...
Or a stroke patient who had word salad and you basically were communicating on gestures and... Yeah.
Yeah, no, we do that. Like language communication. Like that is such an essential quality in a relationship. Like, even though you're communicating nonverbally,
60% of your communication is nonverbal.
Yeah, you can get a lot, but when you are going to fall in love with somebody, you need 100%. So I was like, I found that storyline cute and like romantic, but so unpractical and unrealistic.
Yes. Yeah. And also, they didn't know each other.
Yeah.
They didn't. And like, even, you know, it's like, I don't know how realistic that
was. Yeah, I know I certainly wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm going to take lessons to learn that language and then I'm going to just fly to the country and ask for her hand in marriage. Like,
that's unrealistic. Like, that was so over the top. Like,
yeah, I mean.
And then she accepted it. Like, you who I don't really know back to your country with you because... Being married to a man with money is better than being a waitress with my family.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dad was like, take her. I don't care.
Yeah. Go for it, rich man.
I mean, I was like, dad, come on.
Like, he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy, but you don't know that.
Yeah.
And she really, like, it's not like she saw him doing things. Like, there's a difference if you see... she didn't see him see how nice he was. She didn't see him doing acts of kindness for people around him and things. He was nice to her in ways, but nothing that was to the point where you'd be like, whoa, even though we don't speak a language, we can't communicate, I can tell you're a beautiful human. It wasn't like she saw him constantly helping small children or helping the elderly lady across the...
No dating. There was no courtship.
And it was it was her picking up after him and serving him.
She may as well have been a mail order bride.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she kind of was.
But you know what?
I still actually, to be quite honest, I think
he has.
Honestly, I'm not going to say that's a terrible thing.
To be quite honest, I actually
I do know someone where that...
I know a couple people
worked.
Yeah.
So, and to be quite honest, he was such a sweetheart that she probably, like, she didn't know that she was getting the sweetest guy ever.
Well, so I will say this. Someone that would go to the length to learn your language.
It's huge.
And someone that would go to the length to, like, ask for your dad's hand in marriage. Like, those are some green flags.
Those are super green flags.
Yeah.
Like, but also someone who would dive into that deep that quickly is a red flag. That shows a little bit of desperation, a little of enmeshment, a little bit of you are not solid in yourself a little bit.
Right.
You need to get your own confidence back. Mm-hmm. You need to find your own. You need to be complete in yourself here a little bit more.
Big hurts.
And yes. And you are reacting. You're responsive right now instead of, you might be strongly responsive right now instead of.
And I will say writers are a little bit of a dreamer.
Yeah.
They're dreamers.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, it kind of fit with that.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're going to actually be just perfectly fine because he's adorable.
They will, but I wouldn't encourage having that kind of a...
Well, she was really cute, too.
She was cute.
She was super cute.
And she knew herself way more than he knew himself.
Yes.
So I think that, she was the piece that he was missing in that she was very much grounded.
Yeah. She was a very kind person.
And she was kind and she was grounded and she will, like, call it what it is. Like he said something and like even at the airport at the very end where they are all kind of coming together, she's all like, hey, all of your friends are skinny, what's wrong with you? Like all of your friends are crazy good looking and stuff like that. She's like, hey, I didn't mean to. There was a lot of unnecessary fat shaming in this movie.
There was
I'm
a
like
lot of that.
What was... we're gonna be like, just because they're like 5 pounds soft.
I remember, like, so 2003, right? That's when this movie came out, and I was thinking about that era of time.
Uh-huh.
And I know this is going to sound really, really stupid, but when I was in high school, like, I wanted to be a model.
Yeah.
And so I went to an agency, and at the time I was like 5'10 and 125 pounds.
Yeah. And they told
which
you
is underweight.
To lose. Yeah. Totally.
That's
underweight.
Actually underweight.
They probably told you you had to lose 10 to 15
and
pounds.
And what they told me, I had to lose 15 pounds or I could be a plus size model.
Yeah.
What?
And I'm like, I'm actually underweight. Like that's
doesn't
insane.
Matter.
That was, they were like anorexia. Was the late 90s, early 2000s, which is so dangerous and unhealthy. And I was like, I actually need
early
to gain weight, you guys.
Early 90s was actually late 80s, and early 90s, but more late 80s, was the power. Women's clothing had shoulder pads in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it was more the big, and then it went from that to grunge wave, which was even more anorexic than what you had in your generation.
Dangerously.
Yeah.
So, like, you had Kate Moss, who was
exactly
a model, and people
wanted
to
look like her.
I would have to say, like, it was bad for you,
like,
but Courtney and me, like, I'm 5 years older than you. I'm 5 years older than you, and Courtney's 10 years, well, sorry. So
she's like
1,000
years older than you.
No, but like, you know, so like,
old lady over here.
So it was kind of like, and we still weren't in the 80s group, you know, like we weren't in that, you know, shoulder pads were not, you know, were not the thing. We were in the wave, in the total wave. We were raised in the wave.
80s
I was.
80s was
too.
Still skinny, but it was more curves.
Yes,
than, like,
exactly.
The
and then we were,
the,
and our generation was more of the wave. And they were actually, you, when you were told that, it was moving out of the wave.
No, it wasn't.
But
they
no,
wanted me to weigh 110 pounds.
I know.
As a 5'10" human.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is... Yeah, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
It is. Absolutely.
So, I mean, that was that era. Like, that's why there was so much. And this is in the media, and this was a very popular movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally cool and acceptable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is crazy. And, you know, like, but eating disorders in the early 90s, like the Heathers and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
where one of the Heathers was just puking her brains out. And, like, eating disorders were acceptable in the late 80s, early 90s.
I remember watching movies about eating disorders in health class in high school because it was such a prevalent thing.
It was.
One in three girls had an eating disorder.
I had eating disorders.
Well, so did I.
Yeah. And because it was our culture.
I
must have because
I was underweight. I was just really active.
Well, I mean, but I think it was like...
I've always been an eater.
An eating disorder is just like, then there were so many weird fad diets, you know, and you're trying everything and then, or you're not eating at all.
Yes.
I was so health conscious. I was like, I need this much in caloric intake to be healthy.
And then you're like...
I was aware of what I was eating and making sure I got enough. I was weird like that.
I was counting calories. I was calories in junior high. I was counting calories. In junior, in seventh grade, I could look at any meal and tell you exactly how many calories were in it.
I can't tell you how many fads of diets I've been through.
Did you guys have your pocket calorie counter?
No.
I kept it in my head. Everything so it was like, food.
I remember there was the...
That you bought at the grocery checkout line?
No fat. No fat at all. So like, I wouldn't put eggs in anything, but then you could eat as much bread as you wanted.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Then, we were, which is also so terrible because... Stuff. Which is so bad for you. Like, fat was unacceptable, which is unhealthy.
It is unhealthy.
Our nervous system needs it.
And then we were all about sugar because everything was about, we were like, no fat. So all of our stuff was carbohydrates.
It would be okay to just eat like a bag of gummy bears, you know, because it's like, it has no fat or whatever. Yeah,
and that was healthy.
So awful. Then it was, it switched to the all fat meat carbohydrates.
Do you totally remember the Atkins? And then you're like, okay, can we just have some like balance in our life?
Yeah, so it totally swings in the other direction. And then there's paleo. And then there's like, some crazy thing. Anyway.
And it was, and it was so, but then I think in some senses, like I have to say, I feel in some senses, like we were so overly aware of those things. And then I think in some senses we've become too shifted because now we've been like, it doesn't matter if you weigh 7,000 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, from an attractiveness standpoint, I love that everything can be attractive now. I love that. I love the fact that you should not feel shame for your body. Right. What I do not like is that now we are promoting unhealthiness in the same way that before all of the stupid fads were unhealthy for us.
Anybody that's underweight or overweight, they're going to have some health struggles.
They are. And so we need to promote healthy eating and healthy activity. It's balance. Yeah. So yes, 700 pounds can be beautiful. If you're a person who weighs 100 pounds, that could be beautiful. Like, let's not shame.
But we want to aim for healthy.
Find that middle. You know, because we need to be healthy.
But yeah, it was weird because these people were healthy and yet they were still being shamed. So
Absolutely, that was just messed up.
Yeah. And we need to get back to that middle ground for sure.
Middle ground. And okay, I think we need to,
left and right. So and, the other, there's another, Sam and Joanna. So Sam is the young boy and Joanna is his crush at school.
Yes.
But I was kind of like, okay, where's the love story? Is it between the son and I wasn't sure if he was the stepdad or the dad.
It was the stepdad, the stepson. Because Daniel had married, grieving the loss of his wife.
Yes.
And died.
Funeral.
She died leaving Daniel in the care of his stepson, Sam.
Yes. Oh, really? And, I thought that was his son's son. Which,
you know, so I think he really wanted to, I don't know. Like,
there were many scenes between that stepdad and son that I wanted to throw the TV against the wall.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, when a child loses their main nurturing caregiver, it is devastating. And yet there was
recognition.
Not even like an adult. If I was an adult and being told things that his stepfather said to him, I probably would have needed to be committed. I would have been suicidal.
I mean,
you know, son, you should go for love. I'm never going to remarry unless it's Claudia Schiffer. And if it's Claudia Schiffer, then I'm kicking you out of the house because we're going to be having sex everywhere.
I think he was trying to be humorous.
He was trying to be funny. I get it.
Inappropriate for the age.
It was inappropriate on every single level of inappropriateness.
Yes, because like he just like 5 weeks before lost his wife.
Okay.
Five weeks before.
So I have to say,
Some people deal with grief.
I I sometimes inappropriately apply humor inappropriately to deal with extreme situations. So I'm a little bit guilty, and it sounds weird, but that didn't bother me as much as it, like, it was inappropriate. But like Avery does best, my daughter does best, with dealing with big emotions, over-the-top inappropriate humor.
So I was listening to an episode of Hidden Brain, and they were talking about grief. And they were talking about, like, this ideal of, like, you have to go through these five stages. And the person who, like, created those five stages, I feel bad, I cannot remember her name. They talked about it on that episode. But, like, it wasn't intended to be viewed that way, right? Like, grief is such a unique thing. And a lot of people want to carry on with their life. And they want to be able to remember that lost person in a way that works for them. And, like, it might be, you know, later on, like, carrying on conversations with your dad, but it might not mean, like, I have to completely fall apart. Maybe I do need to go to work and I need to kind of take my mind off of that.
Yes,
and I need
absolutely
to carry on. It's so unique and it's different. So yes, there is that aspect, but
I think the movie was trying to show that he was
a cool guy.
Well, he was trying to connect with this stepson in some way. And he felt like, this is the way I can help connect
with his crush.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we can, and they do connect and become closer through that. But it still was a little bizarre.
So my question for this, so that's the story, but what would you do if you had a huge crush on a girl at school that she didn't even know you existed?
That's so cute. I love what he did.
I do too.
Because he found out what she's interested in.
Yeah.
And she was a singer.
Right.
And then he found a need that would help benefit her, which was they needed a drummer for a song that she was going to be singing in the school performance.
Which is so great. I love that. But I have seen, like, I cringe a little bit when I see, like, okay, this person, depending on who they're with,
becomes
this person.
Completely
morphs into that person, and you never know who they truly are.
Yeah.
So I love that he was willing to, like, grow and expand for her. But at the same time, I'm like,
you're a chameleon.
Well, when you are yourself, people get to be attracted to who you truly are.
That's true.
And I was like, oh, well.
And
that was just the,
but he's young.
And maybe once again, my personality is I'm a little bit of a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
And so once again, that didn't bother me as much because I am a little bit of a chameleon. Oh, so in this sense, I deal with grief with my daughter in a very similar way to the relationship between those two.
Yeah.
And then I have a higher level of acceptability for unhealthy chameleonship. Maybe this matched my dysfunction.
Yeah.
So I was more comfortable in how dysfunctional it is because you guys are spot on that it was super dysfunctional.
Well, I mean, because sometimes you have to go out of your box to actually meet somebody.
You do.
So that's what he's doing. He's kind of reaching out of, like, his little, you know, comfort zone to interact and have something in common with this girl. But then once you kind of
you loved it.
Yeah. And then once you have that in and that connection, then you can show who your true self is.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think that expanding. That
so he doesn't have to, like, he's not, like, necessarily lying to himself or lying to her.
Yeah.
He's just kind of, you know.
Well, here's the thing. If you're like, huh, this person that I really like is really into biking. I don't hate biking.
I've
never thought about biking. That's where it's wrong. So, like,
right?
If it's something where you're like, we'll never be a gung-ho. Like, I love to bike. And I don't mind doing simple trail riding, but I am never going to go gung-ho
down steep
things.
Boulders.
Or, yeah, I'm never going to do the boulders. I'm never going to be out with Brad. The stuff, like, when we talk about dirt biking and stuff like that, the stuff that Brad will do, I'm like, I would shit my pants and die.
Well, and I've always said, like, I will never go motorcycling with you.
Yeah.
Just don't even ask because it's not something I'm ever going to feel safe or comfortable doing.
Yeah.
I will do other things with you.
Exactly.
And the same goes for him. There's things that I do that he would never do. But
like,
we've got other middle grounds.
Exactly. But so it's like, okay. But if you're like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting to me, I don't mind dipping my, I'm willing to, like, if it's something that is, like, I'll go biking, you know, and as long as you stay within your comfort zone of who you are. It's okay to expand something. And then also, now if the entire relationship only lives in that space, then that's not going to work for you. But you have to, but it's okay, I think, to go and explore new hobbies, because we do that with each other too, even with friends, like pickleball.
Yeah.
We're all like, hey, let's go try pickleball together. And so, like, I think it's okay to expand yourself, to give yourself an excuse to get together with other people.
Yeah, but when you are being forced to do something that you truly just don't feel safe, don't go there.
Don't go there.
Yeah. So learn to play the drums. That's fine.
You know what? That's my thing. I'm going to learn how to play the drums. My goal was after.
You're going to have great pecs.
After the boy.
I already do. No.
You do have beautiful. Can I just tell you, this region on you, and I'm circulating over my boobs, is amazing. You should see this girl in a swimsuit top. Ooh la la.
Thanks, Valerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But
you
anyway,
now have your wet dream. Focus.
Anyway, when the boys left the house, it's like, okay, I'll have room in their bedroom to put a drum set. So now they're out. I've got the house all situated. I just need to find a drum set, like a small drum set.
You just start with a snare drum. Usually you just start with a snare.
And a gong, or what is that? The snapple? What is that?
Snare. Snare is this one. It's cymbal.
God, I have no idea. I never did percussion.
That's when you start learning how to play the drums, you start with a cymbal.
So, like, I want the big one where you hit it with your fist, and then the maybe two drums, and then the cymbals or whatever.
I used to play rock star or rock band on Wii, and I loved drumming.
I am so excited.
I was a slayer.
I've always wanted to know how to drum.
I feel like you should. That's one of the things in life that I love is, like, I make, like, every year I'm like, I'm going to learn this year.
It's so good about that. I love that about your guys' personalities. You both are very much like, I can learn new things.
You too, Valerie. I'm going to put it out there in the universe. You just put it out there. You're like, I'm looking for a drum set.
It is what keeps us young. It's what keeps us creating. It's what keeps us connected.
Well, and Stevie, I just have a short attention span. Like, my problem is that I love learning new things, but I have no desire to master hardly anything.
Well, just be a jack of all trades. You don't have to
master. Kind of what I am.
I think you're amazing at everything. Like, I love it. Hey, can I build this? Yeah, you can. Let's just do this.
We'll just build it.
Amazing cake. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Let's just say
Do you have any training for anything? Am I going to do it?
I'm going to sure give it all I got. Yeah. Yes, I am.
And then am I going to, like, after I do it, figure out what? There's a much easier way to do that. Okay. That is so awesome. And then I have to redo it again. I know. I'm like, through it this really complicated way, I learned these 17 different things. Do you know that I can fix a total disaster project?
Yeah. Because you took the 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Colin and the American Girls.
Oh, that was funny.
Funny, but weird. And I was like, really?
So, you're not having any luck in the place that you live, it's not you.
Change your environment.
Yes.
Go somewhere else.
Obviously.
Don't change anything about yourself, because you're perfect the way you are.
Yeah.
But just know that this thing about you, your amazing English accent, this is accurate. We do love it.
We do.
It will overlook anything for an accent.
Yeah.
I hate to say American girls.
No, I won't.
Really,
I won't overlook body odor.
I cannot. Body odor is the one thing you can't. Bad teeth or body odor.
Oh, that's funny. Well,
if your teeth have to. I can't overlook bad teeth.
I can't.
That's such an American thing.
I know it is.
It is. It's
bad teeth, and then there's bad teeth.
Yeah, there's two. Okay, so I have to tell you something.
I can do a little. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Like, you know, because I think actually a little gap, a little something gives
people. Can be cute sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But teeth that are bad.
Or if you're missing a tooth, or they're super yellow.
What? That is such a privilege that we have.
It isn't cheap.
No. But it's so important. Like my niece, one of the things, so I was just fresh out of college and stuff.
That feels important here, but truly, it doesn't feel important anywhere else.
I know, it's true.
And after I read that, book, Breathe, by James Nestor, I'm like, oh, we've done ourselves a disservice.
We kind of have. I don't know. This is a priority. I think it's really important to have nice. I mean, to have a good, just alignment. I mean, so your teeth aren't broken.
So let's go to another country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If things aren't working out in your country, what would you do?
Because Colin just can't make it happen. And in Britain, he just can't, you know, and he tries, but he flubs it up all the
time. But he's also not looking for a deep relationship. He's looking for hookups. Yeah. And let's be quite honest.
This was before Tinder.
Yeah, this is before. He's hookup culture. He's hookup culture. And he's not looking for things. And he's not special. He's not special or unique for hookups.
He's so awkward.
People could find that endearing, but
maybe
not if you're going to have a quick hookup.
He's not hookup material, and he wants hookup.
He tries to flirt, and he tries to hook up, and he's so awkward, and women just like look at him like, "What are you? Who are you?
Hookup culture, he did the right thing.
Because his
uniqueness over here, like he's awkward enough over there.
Yeah.
But when he came over here, he had this unique little accent, and which made him seem sophisticated. And any of his awkwardness came off as cute, quirky.
He fell in with five.
Yeah, basically.
There ended up being five of them.
Four girls and him. Yeah.
And apparently he rose to that occasion.
Yeah. I have never seen that many beautiful people hanging out at a bar. Just haven't.
No, dressed that way in that bar?
In that temperature.
I know, right?
It's like a... dive bar, and these girls are
smoking hot.
Yes, wearing tiny things.
So kind of was like, did someone just fall asleep and they're dreaming?
Yes,
like, that's what I thought about his whole story.
No, it was all make believe, but it was pretty funny.
It was funny,
those girls could have been looking for that, so that's why they went
all five. Let's just talk about this. If you're five smoking hot girls who are willing to have a six-some with the five of you. I mean, granted, they were hot enough if they were bi. Those girls were hot enough. They could have had a great night just themselves, okay?
Yeah.
So if they just wanted an entertaining thing, like, in what make-believe world are five hot girls going to go out looking for one guy to rock their night?
It's just not.
Never. Like, it's over the
probable,
top.
Probable, but not.
Oh my God.
It's zero, 1%,
right?
I mean,
there could be the weird kink. You know, there's somebody wants
to. I mean,
a group of hot girls want to do that.
So, maybe. Like, the only scenario where I could see that happening is it was a bachelorette party where everyone just was like, we're going to be. And, you know, like,
we're going to have sex tonight.
Like, the only way that I could ever see that happening was really hot is if the really hot stripper that you had come to your house for a bachelorette party. And then you guys were egging each other on with that. You touch it. Now you touch it. Now you touch it. Now you touch it. Well, you kiss it now. You did. We all touched it. Oh no, and the poor guy would just be there like, okay, I guess I'll be your guys'
scenario. This scenario is really funny.
That's the only time I could ever see something like that actually happen.
You just made this a reality.
That's the only reality where I could ever see it. Because then it's the girls daring each other. And the weirdness is the girls teasing each other about. Yeah. And then the guy's just a piece of meat. And the guy is there to be a piece of meat.
He's the lucky guy.
And he's just like, I'm going to be taking advantage of this.
I was just going to be a dancer, but whoa, I get, you know.
Yeah, and now, you know, and so that's the only way that I can see five girls dressing up slutty.
Okay, well, that's it. All right, let's go on. John and Judy. So backstory on them, they're body doubles.
They're
body doubles for porn stars. So
That was actually probably the cutest relationship.
It was the only one that I was like, this feels, you know, more realistic, mm-hmm. like falling in love with your coworker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen. So the best idea.
They weren't doing sexual acts, but they were like naked and
they're naked and grinding on each other.
And they're like talking about the weather.
Yeah. Or the traffic.
Or politics.
I don't even know if they went to politics because that gets a little bit.
I think they talked about the prime minister. Because that's how I brought the prime minister.
That's the connection.
Talking about that. And then, you know, like, you know, John's kind of likes Judy. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
If that was your job.
Yeah.
Like, could you not fall in love with your coworker?
Absolutely. I could totally.
If you are like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Intimate or even like going through intimate actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that they were doing
a certain level of detachment.
I think it's an interesting.
But they were detached.
It's an interesting idea. Like you can tell
from the way that they were talking.
They're talking.
But they are touching each other. So how can you not kind of get familiar with somebody in a way?
I can't imagine. Like, I think their detachment, the fact that they were like talking about the weather and the traffic and the random prime minister, like, wouldn't you have to do that to like get through that?
Yeah. Well, he even says like he, you know, this is his job. This is the first woman that he's actually been able to talk to like that. He says that, you know, like, I like being able to talk to you like about stuff like this. Uh-huh. You know, and so who knows what other women he's, you know, maybe he's so bored. He's just like, oh, this woman's pretending to give me a blowjob and I've got to just stand here and like look around. But now he can actually say, oh, yeah. And what about the weather? The traffic was hard today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's cute, though. I thought they were cute.
They were. Adorable.
They were cute. Too.
I was rooting for them.
I was rooting for them, too.
But the rest of them can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Broken.
Are we going to get
Mark?
I was going to say Jamie and Aurelia. Oh, no, that one.
My next one is Mark and Juliet.
Yes.
I thought was the most like despicable scenario. Mark and Juliet, best man, you know, at his best friend's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Is in love with his wife, right? Mm-hmm. He's in love with her.
And he's been in love with her for a long time.
And that happens.
Yeah, that totally happens.
Everyone else that, like, the observers thinks that...
he hates her.
Mark hates Juliet, yes. And he is in love with Peter.
His friend.
They think that he is in love with his friend.
That he is gay and in love with his best friend.
Yeah. But that's not the case.
That he's actually in love with her.
It absolutely kills me that he takes videos at their wedding and like all of them are like incredibly well done. I'm like, shoot, is he a photographer on the side? Like a professional?
Yeah, I think he
is. Maybe he was, but they're all zeroed in on her and you know he's jacking off to that.
And she's kind of persistent. She's like, I want to see those. Yeah. When can I see them? When are they ready? And he's like,
Like, something happened where she didn't like any of the videos or any of the photos. She's like, I haven't found a photo of the two of us together that really makes me feel like I'm in the moment. And, you know, they just didn't have it. And she's like, can I please look at your film so I can see if the moment was caught?
Yes. So she's watching it and she realizes it's all focused on her.
But Mark doesn't want her to look at it because he keeps putting her off and she just shows up. And she's like, you know, I want to be friends. And, you know, and kind of
why do you hate me?
Yeah. And she just kind of barges in and kind of like sits down and finds the video and starts watching it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, shit. No.
She's going
to
know.
And she goes from, why do you hate me to looking at him. And he's like, I don't hate you. I'm in love with you.
But he doesn't say that.
Yeah.
What he does is he shows up at their house.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her to shh, quiet.
I'm a caroler.
He's up watching some game and he doesn't give a crap. Say, I'm a caroler.
Mm-hmm.
Puts on this thing and then note card after note card silently tells her.
I'm in love with you and this is why.
He's going to love her forever and ever and ever.
And he'll wait for her. Because it doesn't, that
does he say he's going to wait for her or does he say this is the only way I protect myself is by I have to disassociate and this is how I protect myself by pretending I hate you.
I'm only ever going to love you.
Yeah, no, basically he's like, he's going to, like, he basically says that they're going to end up together someday.
Does he really say that?
What are you supposed to do?
The card.
I am so delusional in watching this show because, like, I guess I wasn't paying
attention. If you're her, like, what are you supposed to do? What, you're standing there and you find out that your husband's best friend is beyond obsessed with you.
And pulling this.
It's weird. Like, what a horrible situation to do.
But so in a
sense,
do you
let him walk away? Do you say, I'm sorry, I don't have those same feelings and it's never going to happen. So either you need to figure your life out and move on, mm-hmm. or you need to get some counseling, whatever. Or do you run over and kiss him? What do you do?
I know.
Well, if you run over and kiss him like she chose to do, then, you know, you basically just instead
you just
of...
opened Pandora's box.
Yes, you did. And you're giving him the green light mm-hmm. that someday, yes, that you agree will be with ready. Him.
Which is a bitch move.
I think it is, too. Whether she meant it is just like, I appreciate it, you know, whatever.
Thank you. And I think that's how they were trying to make it come off is like, thank you so much for telling me that I'm going to let you down easy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if I wasn't with him, I'd pick you.
Yeah.
But that's not how
that's
it actually.
That's how you're interpreting it if you're the man holding your card.
Because nope. he's like, leaves with a like little kick in his step. He's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, someday.
Yeah.
It's going to be us.
Like, that
yep.
was.
Unacceptable. Like, yeah. what he did was inappropriate. But I have to say, too, he tried, like, him being silently in love with her was okay.
That happens. That's
it happens.
Unrequited love.
And he tried to, she barged in and basically, like,
at the same,
took
at the
his
same
secret
time,
from him.
At the same time, though, it's like, okay. So you're a huge part of my husband's life and you hate me.
Absolutely.
Like, this isn't going to work long term because I'm always going to be with my husband. Like, you've got to
exactly.
figure out how to fix that dynamic.
Absolutely. So I can understand her questioning and saying, we have to fix this because we're both here for the long term game.
Right. So like,
but then I think
that the onus was on the best friend. To like, he needed to figure things out.
Yes. And I think that she like,
and
she
didn't help
it.
Him with that.
No.
By giving him the green light.
No. And
when she was trying to say, oh, that's so sorry. Oh, that's so rough. You don't.
But also, I think
kiss
that.
Somebody.
No.
As an apology.
No. And I think that she kind of missed when she discovered that he was in love with her.
Yeah.
Instead of just going, how can I help you deal with this?
Yeah, that's. Gotta be.
She kind of, in a sense, was too flattered. Like, mm-hmm. she let her, like, in that moment when she found
she
that out, it was
happy.
Okay. She was too happy.
She was elated.
She was elated about, and like, that, you think I'm so special? She kind of, and then that's her little yes to him at that moment is why he did the big gesture.
Yeah.
So she kind of, she opened the can of worms, and I'm not yeah. trying to blame her.
I kind of feel like there's going to be, like, divorce papers within.
There
months.
Has to be. I hate
There's
to say
nothing,
it.
You,
it's,
you
I think it's all gonna, it's all going to be messed up.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing.
And I think that, you know, it's okay for her to say, we need to fix this. But when she got the information, she didn't go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How can I help you work through this?
Yeah, that's
awful. You know, like, that so sucks. And thank you for sharing that to me. And she could have even given him a hug and just go, oh my God. I understand now.
Could be okay.
Let me give you a hug and just, but she also needed to have, when she first found out, he's like, I've been in love with you forever. She gave him a small yes there by not being.
She was smiling and nodding.
Like, oh, okay, now I understand. It's because you think I'm amazing.
Yeah.
She let her pride get in the way and she wanted that. And the fact that yeah. she was kind of loving
that. So we all
that,
agree this was I think this was the worst. Well,
yeah.
It was right there with the jewelry. Like,
the jewelry.
Yes,
yeah, because I think
terrible.
Those were the things where there was innocent people that were getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The heartbreaking. But this next one, Billy Mack and Joe. So Billy Mack is this
interesting
like, rock star.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so self-absorbed, of
he
course.
He is.
And
I love this love story.
He's such a, he's a goofball in general. And
yeah, he just does not care. He just does.
I know.
Says it like it is.
I think the love story with him was between him and his best friend.
It was.
Yeah.
Who was also his manager, who he constantly fat shamed because he called him chubs. Again, here we
and
go.
And he just was an asshole in every way to him.
Right. So I'm like, my thing was like, okay, so you treat me like a doormat
uh-huh.
for our entire relationship, but I still worship you.
Yeah.
So his poor Joe, I'm like, that broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's so dysfunctional
it
to
is.
Be treated that way and
he
to
just
still idolize him.
He just put up with so much.
He
from
did.
Billy. Like, you know, Billy was just a schmuck and just kind of made everything hard. Everything,
mm-hmm.
that
everything
Joe,
had to be about him.
Yeah. Everything yeah. Joe, like, is just Joe's trying to make Billy's career you know,
salvageable.
Yes.
Just like, do the fucking Christmas album.
And yeah. I think the only reason truly that Billy Mack like finally recognized him is because his career was falling apart and he realized the only person that was ever supporting him
was this
Joe.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a conflated way of saying, oh, you make me better.
Like, yeah. I love you because you love me.
Yeah. I only love you because you're obsessed with me.
Yeah.
And that's how it felt to me.
You've saved me from myself so many times. Mm. I love you because you've saved me so many times from myself. Not, I love you because of who you are.
Nope, because he didn't really know who he was other than his support.
But self-centered people, yeah. That's
so that, and that is how it goes. You've got your narcissist, mm-hmm. and then you've got your selfless person, and they do go together. Because a narcissist won't attract anyone else. Yes. A narcissist doesn't want to be with another narcissist.
No.
They need somebody to feed off of.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that was that dynamic to me. And I thought mm-hmm. it was super dysfunctional. And I know they try to play it as a cute, like, friend.
No, but it's not. He's not a friend to his other friend. And acknowledging that you've been shitty to someone forever does not make it okay that you've been shitty to them forever. No, even if you finally do
a
nice...
It feels like a tool of manipulation.
It almost is. It's almost like, you know what? I now acknowledge that you've been amazing to me forever. And I'm going to finally acknowledge it. But you know what? You're still not a human to me. Yeah. You're just a resource.
So please keep being that way to me.
I appreciate you for being my resource. Thank you for being my resource. Now I'm saying thank you when I use you.
Yep. And I'm just going to keep you tethering you along.
Exactly. Here's some breadcrumbs.
Now you're almost so broken.
Yeah. Here's some breadcrumbs.
Yes. Yep. I'm going to feed you those breadcrumbs. Yeah. So I hated that dynamic.
Yeah.
That
was
fucked up. And the last and final dynamic, Sarah and Carl. So this one was, I thought, really heartbreaking too. Because was it between Sarah and her potential like romantic partner that he adored her?
I know. Sarah
fucked up here.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot of fucks. But like there was some chemistry between them and they were building it up and they finally had an opportunity to like be intimate and like
Sarah couldn't set boundaries
with her brother and her brother is in an institution and has like mm-hmm. some
this was actually good love story. This one could
between her brother and her
This was between Sarah and Carl. Like this was actually an opportunity for a healthy relationship.
Yeah, it could have been.
Sarah fucked it up. Yeah. I think almost in all of these situations, there was fuck up.
I don't know. I just felt like that was so sad. Because that was the saddest one. Of course, she still could have been there for her brother and still had a relationship.
Her brother was being taken care of.
Yes.
Exactly.
There was no emergency.
This was a brokenness in her that she chose not. It's so sad when you see someone pick dysfunction and unhealthy behaviors over happiness.
And I have a feeling
she made that choice.
Because this can happen a lot. Like, so when there's a dynamic of like brother and sister or siblings, where one of them is, you know, healthy and the other one may have some health mm-hmm. crises. So all of the energy gets poured into the one with the health crisis.
And it's always and she was raised that way to take care of him.
That's normal mm-hmm. and that's okay and that's the expectation. Mm-hmm. And they never
And you're going to take care of him when you're older.
So
and,
then mm-hmm. that healthy person then becomes unhealthy.
Yes. And that's what happened.
The heartbreak.
And that's the heartbreak is because
and Carl was like trying to like help her set boundaries.
Yes.
She just couldn't even fathom that was an option.
Yeah. No, it
so
was
that
not
was heartbreaking.
It was that heartbreaking was because she could have made it work, but she couldn't even see. She couldn't see that she was the broken dynamic.
No, she thought she was doing the right thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's also in some senses, I think a lot of these situations, one of the key elements is we don't realize that this is the dangers of isolation mm-hmm. because in a lot of these situations, there's an isolative
factor
yeah. that one guy could never express all of his love. And, you know,
because well, his best friend, he couldn't tell him
exactly.
That, right?
You know, like there's yeah. in a lot of these things, there's this is the danger of isolation is mm-hmm. it harbors
shame
and inappropriateness. And, you know, and then, yeah. So, I mean, this is why I love having my girlfriends because like a lot of like mm-hmm. in my situation, do you know that it is so rare for someone to break free of
patterns.
The patterns.
The normal patterns that you know and to change them.
Well, my trauma counselor, she's like, my trauma counselor was like, you do know that, like, no one, like, I basically almost did the impossible. She's like, you know, so
absolutely
getting out of that at the point that you were in it. You being the one to initiate to get out. It doesn't happen. Now, sometimes it does happen where that person's, you know, where
external factors may force it.
Yeah. And where the other person is, you know, like feels like they've used you up past your, you know, and point of usefulness and now they're going to discard you. So that can happen. And
instead, but it takes a lot to break patterns.
To break patterns. To get out. And then in any situation, you just have to start breaking those patterns. And because it's so hard because your addiction
feels safe.
It does. And you
can predict it and understand it.
And it's so weird. Like, and it is the hard thing too. Like one of the hardest things for me with going through trauma counseling was just learning that so much of my personality is actually trauma responses. And I'm like, fuck, the things I like about myself are trauma responses. It was like, I was like, I had to take a break from counseling for a little bit. Cause I'm like, you know what? I am hating myself because I'm like, great. Everything good about me is bad.
Well, my greatest strengths are my greatest weaknesses. You know, like
it's so true.
You got to find that balance.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We are who we are.
We are who we are. I love who you girls are.
I love you too.
And you know what? Our dysfunction can mash nicely.
So when we watch this movie, like it's promoted as a romantic comedy, but yet we only found dysfunction in this. And I wonder if, was that the ultimate intention of this writer, maybe, producer, director?
Well, because I read, there's a quote at the very beginning that says, what is the point of Love Actually? And it was explained that, you know, this idea of the movie is the holidays are better when you spend them with people you care about. But I don't know if I found that in this movie. I don't know if they were.
So they were prefacing it that this is actually like, these are the people we care about.
This is what love actually is. Love isn't this beautiful romance. Love is dysfunction.
But what we're finding,
love is actually dysfunction.
Right? 22 years later.
Yeah.
But what we're finding is maybe our perceptions of what is healthy and functional have changed.
And also, maybe society doesn't, because this is like, this is what we were told.
Being like unhealthy and anorexic and shaming each other. When we were in our, demoting each other, putting each other down, using each other. That was normal then.
Yeah.
And now we're saying no.
Yeah, and so that's what we were told was love.
Well, that's why we're saying right now.
That's why we developed these super unhealthy relationships because we were like, well, this is actually what love is. Love actually is just tolerating
your dysfunction.
To rewind disorders. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If we were to rewind to 20 years ago and have like our mothers watching and reviewing this movie, do you think they would have come to these same conclusions?
I don't know.
No, I think we would have all just said, that's just how it is. You just put up with it.
It's so nice. She chose her brother over like a lifetime of love and passion.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to do the right thing.
You know?
But you know, if you stop to think about it, if you think about women's place, like women couldn't be separated from, women couldn't get a credit card without a male signature until 1975. They couldn't get a loan for themselves. So if you start to think about the fact that it's very new, that you didn't actually just have to love, used to be just always having to actually adapt to it. Yeah. You know, so love used to always be actually just adapting to whatever the dysfunction was. Love is actually, for a female, love is just actually adapting to the dysfunction and figuring out how to function in dysfunction. Because that's actually just what love is. Because that was your only opportunity and choice.
So what I'm worried about is, yes, this is how we're believing. This is how we're viewing things now. But there's a lot of talk out there that sets women back. Right. Stay at home, have kids, don't have a job. And now the economics are pushing women into like staying home because you can't.
That domestic violence happens is when a woman is completely dependent.
How are people going to afford to have childcare and work at the same time? And they're going to have children too. So
it is
going to be interesting.
But I also think there's two other factors in there too that are interesting to consider. The number one indicator of violent behavior and crimes is not having a father in the household. That's the number one thing that predicts Actually, suicide rates for one parent house, fatherless households are a lot higher. If you look at the statistics, not having a unified home front is a thing. And then also, a lot of the costs of childcare and things like that are so exorbitant that, and that, you know, the economical savings of having one person. So things have gotten so ridiculous, and the cost of living, you know, it's just all so convoluted anymore. It's so difficult. So I think that in some senses, you're right. We need to be very aware that things need to be done by choices. And I don't think we should say that the women have to stay home. But I do kind of like, if our society can get to a point where we can have one person focusing on stuff, they should choose it. You know, they should choose who in the family gets to.
Well, how are people gonna survive when we need two incomes now to make
it? Well, but anymore, people can't afford to have kids on two incomes because the price of childcare takes care of.
People can't afford to have children.
People can't afford to have children
and
anymore.
Yet, if you do get pregnant, there's nothing you can do about it.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
Like, so it's just like we're digging ourselves into this greater poverty crisis.
So I was having.
I'll just say this because we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we do have to wrap it up. It's so complicated.
What I want to say is that.
And I want to say one.
Women to continue to be independent, self-actualize.
Everybody needs to do
you
that.
You know, not. Let's not start just settling. There is no settling.
I think what we want is equality.
Yes.
And what we need is true equality. But okay, so
absolutely.
The book that we just read, Sandwiches, there was this quote from that. Okay, just because we're talking about this.
Uh-huh.
And she's reflecting on her parents and that generation. And they were, you know, in this day, like year 2025, they would be in their 70s.
Mm-hmm.
She says, when I'm jealous of my parents, I think it was easier back then. My dad worked, my mom stayed home. There was absolute clarity. Now there's just pretend equity, and it's not very romantic or equity.
Absolutely.
So that's Sandwiches by Catherine Newman. But like, it's, we want equity. We're not there.
Do you know what I was having this conversation with?
But it needs to happen.
I think part of the problem is that it's the illusion of the equity, just like they said. But I think that people don't understand. And I'm going to take it just a little step further. But like things like abortion, I think that what people don't, where the common ground needs to be based off of is that is not like, I don't think anybody ever wants to have an abortion. Let's be real. Like if you're in that situation, I don't think anyone ever wants to have an abortion. Like that's not like, oh, you know what?
People don't plan on abortion.
People do not. No. Exactly. But I think what people don't understand is right now our common ground has to, we need to stop looking at things from a shameful perspective and realize our common ground needs to be approached in. Right now, women's rights are so, we have no protection. We don't have equalities. Mm-hmm. We still have the responsibilities without, like, there's not equal responsibility. There's not all these things. And so I think that our women in our society are still not safe.
Do men get thrown in jail for having an abortion?
Exactly. Women in our society are still not safe. So if you want to
treat men and women the same,
exactly. If you want to
decrease,
if you want to decrease abortions, then what you need to do is you need to protect women. Yeah. And until women are protected, you can't stop them from protecting themselves.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well said.
And nobody, and we have to understand we all have the same desires. So this is where I'm like, this is where the conversation needs to happen. We all want the same things. We want safety for families. We want safety for people. We need to start focusing on how do we make the world safe for women so then women can make choices. Because here's the thing. If we're going to say we have to have a baby, but it's like, yes. then you need to say, okay, having a baby has a toll on your body. We need to give you the equality. Anyway.
So let's
find common ground.
Quickly, it's not steamy.
It's not steamy.
It's a
you know,
the yeah. green
there
pepper.
Are a lot of nipples.
But yeah, there's lots of nipples.
But it's well, very...
I mean, like, what, you know, the couple that are doing the
bar. Yeah, that's a little nipple-y. And then there's some shadow figure playing with the fives and sixes. That's hilarious.
Would I feel comfortable watching this with my 10-year-old? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, because there's too many themes that are, you're like, no, that's not how relationships should be.
It's an adult movie.
It is. Yes.
I wouldn't recommend it to people with children.
Yeah.
Maybe 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can have a conversation, like, I wouldn't even want my 15-year-old girl watching this thinking it's normal. Because this is not, unless you had a real conversation with him about these are fucked up relationships.
So are we recommending it to whom? Are we going to recommend it?
I would recommend it with a cautionary disclaimer.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is really not a good, healthy portrayal of.
And maybe if you listen to this podcast before watching it, you'll be thoughtful of the things we've talked about. And maybe it can cause, like, create discussion like we just had.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And of all of those relationships, the only relationship that I think has any kind of a chance were the porn couple. That's about it.
Yeah. And I really, my heart goes out to the woman with her brother, because I really I wish that would have worked.
That was heartbreaking.
Because a lot of these characters still had a lot of growth. So yes, there was some character development.
And love actually
we're great
is
about
between...
painting backstory.
And love actually is about accepting flawed people, but it's not about accepting unhealthy behavior.
All right. That's my takeaway.
Happy holidays.
Exactly.
And go connect with other people in healthy ways.
Well, and maybe that's it. It's just, connecting with people, enjoying the people you love.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. And working on your journeys wherever they're at.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
So, well,
XOXO.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah,
love you.
Come to our website.
Yes.
www.myperfectromance.com. If you want to recommend a book, a movie, or if you want to share your love story, interview, if you're an author, we've got lots of great interviews and
we sure do.
Author links for a lot of the books that we've reviewed or read. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
Well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks. Yep. Yeah. XOXO.
Bye.
Bye.